Jam! Hello again, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. I am Chewy, and we took a week off because nothing happened.
Yay!
And of course, the day after we take a week off because nothing happened, they announce things. And then the next
day... Everything happened.
No, not yet. And then the next day, they announced more things. And then... Well, then today... hiccups. And then today, even more things happened. So, yeah.
All the things.
You guys remember when they said that they were delaying an announcement date of June? I'm terrified of what's in the thing now. June or July or whenever it is. What's left?
Well, I think maybe they didn't quite realize some of the ramifications of pushing it back. So they're like, oh no, we have to announce that now. Crap.
New Deckmaster game.
So I am Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
Hey, buddy. I don't know why you're in such a good mood. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know either, man. It's crazy.
And I am joined by a newly pew-pew-eyed Squee.
I see things. I see them with my eyes.
Did you roll the 20 and get the Omega Beams, or are you just not telling us that you rolled a 20 and got...
I mean, if you had Omega Beams, would you tell people or would you show people?
That's true. I have not bumped into
point.
You.
Fair point.
Yeah. And also joining us is everyone's favorite bow tie wearing, science marching, curmudgeon, I suppose is a good word. Clues.
Hey, Chewy, do you know what today is?
It is, the 24th of April.
Okay. Do you know if today is a great day or the greatest day?
I don't know, dude. It's Monday.
I mean, it was raining all day, so.
Is it? Yeah. Is it Monday? I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell at all. I was pretty sure it was like Christmas, New Year's, my birthday, all wrapped into one. It was amazing. It's incredible. It's the dawning of a new era. It's everything we might have maybe possibly ever wanted. We're not quite sure yet. It's a little bit scary, but for now, we're so excited.
Can you hide it?
I just can't hide it.
Well.
Huh.
Chewy, I gotta warn you
there. Bonus points because I'm pretty sure control just lost. Because
I'm about to lose control.
Uh-huh.
I think I like it.
Oh my.
I really don't think you're the only one that just lost control.
I'm also fairly certain that younger people are listening going, what the hell are they talking about? Ask
Thank
your parents.
God there is no swearing on Monday Night Magic. Oh man. Boy. The things I would be saying right now. But no, we can't. We can't. There's no swearing on Monday Night Magic. They would be the good kind of swears though. The excited, happy kinds of swears. Ask your parents.
All right, then. So...
Stop the top!
What?
I'm sorry. That slipped out. It's reflex. It's Pavlovian. I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't. I may have to mute. I'm sorry. Carry on. Carry on.
All right. I am, in fact, your wayward son. So...
Wait.
What?
Really?
Yes. Last week... News happened, but not exactly. The set stuff came out. So there are links in the show notes for the card image gallery, the token gallery, which because they made a token for every embalm creature's token.
Token yeah. All the things.
Yeah, there are a full crap load of tokens in this set.
Metric or English?
I actually don't know the difference.
Tibble standard.
Oh, Tibble Standard.
Tibble Standard, yeah. Okay, all right.
What's...
That sounds like the worst format ever.
Yeah, I would not play it either.
That actually would... So we're in Tibble Standard is what you're saying. So, what's... why, quick tangent, even though it's the beginning of the show. What's the difference between a metric ton and an English ton?
One's one and one. I can never actually remember. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, okay. Hold on, I'll be with you.
I use the term metric ton all the time, but I don't know what the difference is.
I don't know that that's actually a thing.
One's actually a multiple of something useful, and I'm going to guess it's the metric one.
Oh,
and
yeah, almost then certainly.
There's the U.S. ton.
A metric ton is a unit of weight equal to 1,000 kilograms.
Really?
So it's not at all a ton.
So it's a kilo of kilograms.
Because it's 2,205 pounds.
Oh, okay. So metric ton is actually more than a ton, which is why people say it. Got it. It's
yeah.
Like a New York minute.
So the U.S. ton is 2,000 pounds, whereas the metric ton is 1,000 kilograms.
Right, which is 22-something.
Which pounds. Is 2204 pounds, yes.
Gotcha.
Or 5.
Gotcha. Okay, then, now that we've gotten past that, there you go. Celebrating bannings and learning things here on Monday Night Magic. And also old music.
Hooray!
So, okay, the card image gallery, if you want to see the whole set, all the tokens, and a link to the release notes, which if you have any questions about how anything works or individual cards or whatnot, that's where you go. Right?
That's so where you go first.
Do what?
That's where you go first.
That's where you go first.
Yes.
And if that doesn't work, then you go to Gatherer and see if there are any rulings. And if that doesn't work, then...
Raise a hand. Call a judge.
Call a judge. Or poke...
Kibler Google.
Kibler Google. Go to... go bother JudgeCast.
So. Yes, actually, send a message to JudgeCast. They want your questions.
They do, because they're...
It makes them happy.
So that was what we didn't... That is literally all that we didn't talk about last week that we would have talked about. Those things. Boom.
And that's the show. So if you want to simulate last week, just fast forward to the credits and then come back and listen to this week's show now.
Because we have credits. That's what's actually playing behind the end music is credits. But because this is an audio podcast...
Like I said, you can't read them. They're there. You can't read them. Yeah.
So...
Try the second audio program, the SAP. Press that button on your...
Is that what SAP means?
Yeah, I believe it's secondary audio program.
I did not know that. Look, I'm learning all the things this week. Thanks, Clues.
Hey, no problem, man. I'll go see if I can find other random science facts. Let's try that in Google. Science facts.
So, the news for this week, they made some announcements.
Yeah.
They did.
No. Sorry.
Not that yet.
The news.
You want to start with Tuesday of last week?
Yeah, the news from last week that would have been on this week's Monday Night Magic, which is now.
Okay. Right.
Wait, hang on. I've got stuff in the wrong order.
Too many tabs.
Okay. So the first one involves some small announcements that they realized they couldn't wait for announcement day in June. So they had to throw them at us. The next block, the fall set, is named Ixalan. And that's how they announced it.
Is the whole reason that they had to announce that is because they were going to announce dates for Pro Tour Ixalan?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, presumably, although honestly in the past, before they shared the names of sets that they wanted to be sneaky about, they just called them Pro Tour, insert city name. Yeah. So I don't think it was necessary, but I do think that they wanted to announce it anyway.
Well, they don't use city names anymore.
Well, no, they don't for the final name. But, like, when they didn't want us to know the name of a second set in a block, back before they just announced them all at once, like they did this time around,
Right. They
would do that. Like, they just straight up told us Aether Revolt was what came second in Kaladesh block. They just told us that up front.
Right.
And then they told us Amonkhet and Hour of Devastation up front. But I want to say that Eldritch Moon or something, they decided to wait on a sec because they wanted to keep their mystery going, and so they did something dumb with it. But either way, all we know is that it's Ixalan.
And you're saying that they didn't announce it now just because Morrow accidentally said Ixalan in his podcast last week?
I wasn't aware that. Well, I mean, last week was when they announced it. So.
No, the week before. But that's a thing that happened, is he said that word out loud in reference to a card name that he was apparently mispronouncing. There's some suggestion that he did it on purpose. I don't know.
I wouldn't think too much
about
it.
Engage conspiracy theory. Find some tinfoil. Go on.
I was going to say, doesn't he have an editor or something?
I would wager that most of the things that he records are actually reviewed by someone just due to how legal works in big companies. So
probably. But anyway, so what we know about Ixalan is that it releases on September 29th, and it will be legal for the 2017 World Championship, both Standard and Limited. And that'll be the first thing people play with. Now, it releases in September. Pro Tour Ixalan is November 3rd. So that, if you do the math, that's just over a full month between the Pro Tour and the set release instead of 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah.
And that's because, well, for this one at least, that's because they want the first play, the first time you can see it is the World Championships, which is really cool. It's a hell of a marketing decision when you've got all these people's, potential livelihood and big money and fabulous prizes riding on the line. Let's throw some new crap at them.
Let's create a one-weekend metagame and then later create an actual metagame.
Pretty much. But, Yeah.
It'll be really sad if it backfires on them and no one runs any of the new cards because they don't get to play test with them.
Oh, that would be sad. Oh.
But it'll also be a post-rotation standard, so it'll be neat anyway.
Oh, that's true. Because Ixalan is where the next rotation starts, or happens, thank goodness, finally.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Hoorah.
You remember back a couple months ago, they announced that Nationals would be back and replacing the WMCQs? Wait.
Yes.
Let's say that I do.
Did I? WMCQ. Yeah, I got those numbers right.
Yeah.
They're letters. Letters? They're letters, not numbers.
Hieroglyphs.
I got those scribblings correct.
I think you got the payload.
Oh,
correct.
Oh, yeah, because I have to stay on the payload. So, Nationals will take place September 9th and 10th, September 16th and 17th, and October 14th and 15th. They will be a two-format thing, a split of standard and booster draft, and you will get pro points from them. Ooh. Ooh.
So, Chewy.
Yeah.
How does one qualify to go to these?
The same way you did for the WMCQs. And if you want to know that, and if that sort of thing applies to you, you either already know, or you can click the link in the show notes and go find it yourself. It's essentially the same as the WMCQs, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, the regional Pro Tour qualifiers. You know, the RPTQs? If you win the PPTQ, you get to go to the RPTQ?
Do I ever?
Well, now they're gonna have entry fees.
You mean I can pay money and then win a tournament and then qualify to pay money to then try to win a tournament so I can then pay money to go to a tournament?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Pretty sick, huh?
So wait, when is the TPTQ?
The toilet paper?
There was a
PPTQ. Technique is a terrible attack style, Clues.
You've got a PPTQ and then an RPTQ, and if I'm reading right how the lettering should go, we should skip the SPTQ and go straight to the TPTQ.
You worked really hard for that.
I did, yeah. It probably wasn't worth it.
I mean, I didn't think so, but.
Yeah, well, it's,
What was that?
Sorry, that was my cell phone going off. It's my mom. I'm gonna go answer it.
Okay. Try to meet first. That'll be important. Okay, so yeah, RPTQs will have entry fees. We'll talk about that in a minute when Clues gets back. There will be an increase from 32 events to 37, which is my favorite number. It'll award invitations based on attendance. That's Pro Tour invitations. And yeah, there you go.
Yeah, not surprisingly, more people show up, more invitations go out. So you don't have an incentive to find an incredibly small one.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And then finally, they're going back to traditional, normal, everyday single elimination Pro Tour top eights instead of the weird
multi-tiered thing.
Yeah, if you make it in the top two seeds, then you essentially get two buys essentially, sort of.
And yeah, the way that they structured it before, they treated it the way that some sports tournaments work. So if you came in with a higher overall record before you did top eight, they would give you essentially, they're going to make the people with the lower scores fight each other, and then they make the next batch of lower scores fight each other. And so if you came in really high, then you got two buys worth of your way through and made life a lot easier. And they did that because they didn't want people intentionally drawing in, because if you both intentional draw, then you theoretically go into the finals with a lower ranking and then have to play more. So that was the theory.
But, okay, well, let's actually scroll down to that. Nope. Keep scrolling. Oh my god. Here it is. Okay, so based on player feedback, blah, 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 blah. Just based on player feedback. Okay. It was done to mitigate intentional draws in the last rounds of a tournament. However, the reality is that players valued a top eight appearance so much that IDs were happening anyway to ensure that possibility. So since
reasonable.
Yeah, right. So since it didn't work as intended, because making it to the top eight in eighth seed is better than not making it to the top eight.
So, fancy that.
Yeah. Rather than, we'll play it out and the winner will end up in fourth seed. Nope. We'll just ID and we'll both make it. It's like seventh and eighth or something. So that sort of thing. It's a thing.
So yeah.
Since it wasn't working as intended, they're going to scrap that, and instead, they're gonna try to put the incentive on the prize payout, where they're actually making the prize, instead of first place gets this and second place gets this and then the third and fourth get this and then fifth and sixth get this, there's actually a gap between each one.
Right.
So like third place is getting more money than fourth place.
So the net result is that if you were the highest one in what would have previously been the 5 to 8 slot, you will get more money even if you lose.
Yeah. And they're doing the same thing with pro points. If you finish third, you will get 2 more pro points than the person who finishes fourth.
Right. Now, mind you, if you make the top 8, you have a shot at the much bigger prizes further on anyway. So it'll be interesting to see if this actually affects anything.
Yeah.
Because if you play it out and you don't make top 8, well, then you're going to still hit like the lower cash payout, which it, just so you'll know, the difference between first place and ninth place is tenfold.
Yep.
So if you end up ninth because you played it out and lost, well, the other guy now has a shot at $50,000 and you're going home with 5. Yeah. So we'll see what actually happens in practice. I mean, gamer's going to game, but there may not be a solution.
Yeah, considering that any person in the top 8 has a chance to finish in any spot, I don't know what that really does. I guess, yeah, I don't know what that really does.
I mean, it simplifies things.
True, it will be easier to watch, and they won't have to explain it over and over and over on coverage.
Yeah, and it also means that whoever makes it to the end play the same amount of matches as the other person who makes it to the end, which is just a little more fair.
Yes.
Because that actually was kind of annoying.
Yeah, but, I mean, the reason they did it was the incentive to make people play it out and finish high, which it was a hell of an advantage, but still, like we said, even making 8th is way better than not making the top 8, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if anything changes. I would not hold my breath.
Yeah, probably not.
But you'll get to see this going into effect at Pro Tour Amonkhet, which is going to be May 12th to 14th, so a few weeks from now. And it's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee for the people who are, I guess, willing to make the trip. I don't think we'll be there, will we, Chewy?
What?
Like, we're not going. It doesn't matter that it's a neighboring state. We're not going, right?
Oh, I have no idea. I can't plan that far ahead. When is it?
2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Sir, almost certainly not.
Yeah. I mean, I've just had people asking because it's nearby, and it's like, that's cool. I'm not driving over mountains for that. Neat.
I mean, driving over mountains doesn't bother me. I'm still broke. So our clues did not come back as quickly as assumed. So,
I did. I snuck back. You didn't notice.
Oh, okay,
I mean,
so
I'm not here.
So as people who think about these things, what will our PTQs having entry fees do? Because lots of people were all meh about that on the social media.
Well, I mean, what will it do for who? What exact context are we looking for here? I mean, exactly. I assume the reason this is being done is that there were shops who were hosting these events that were having issues meeting, you know, costs.
Do we know?
Running an event is not exactly cheap.
Right. Well, do we know what WotC gave them?
Oh, I have no clue. Yeah, I'm sorry. I do not know. I was never involved with an RPTQ from that end. Okay, I wasn't involved with an RPTQ at all in any way, shape, or form because I don't qualify for things. Bad at this game.
Yay.
But my guess is the concern was the funds provided by WotC weren't quite making ends meet for stores, and so it wasn't really worth their time to do it.
I could believe that.
Now, that being said, I can see how players would be a little, how shall I say this, dissatisfied with the idea of paying an entry fee to one shop, qualifying for a tournament that they now have the privilege of paying for again. I get it. I feel your pain. I understand.
This is effectively like making day two and then having to pay another entry fee.
Now, some of the concern is that some shops will just, you know, gouge the players, which I don't.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. That's going to be a self-correcting problem, right? That's the kind of thing that it's going to happen like once and WotC's going to go, don't do that. That sucks.
Yeah, they're going to drop the hammer and that'll never happen again.
And then they're not going to get another RPTQ. So yeah. I think this will be a self-correcting problem. I think people are probably more worried about it than they should be. Having to pay anything is kind of a bummer, but you should look at it from the store's standpoint because, look, shops have enough of a problem making ends meet, you know, when they have the privilege
totally
of hosting. Hosting a big tournament like this and they get bupkis out of it, yeah, it's not great.
Right. Now, keep in mind, though, that you win a PPTQ, And your only real compensation for making it to the next tournament is you get a card that theoretically you could sell if you wanted to. And now that you're paying to get into that one plus travel and all that other stuff, like how much incentive do you have to bother as a player? Because yeah. that does matter.
I mean, unless you're super serious about making it to the Pro Tour.
I just can't see you ever wanting to do that. Once upon a time when you went to a PTQ, the goal was, and then I win, and then I get travel ticket, and then even if I suck, I get to go to a Pro Tour. And now they've added multiple tiers of cost and challenge to that process to the point where it's probably not going to be very appealing to, unless someone is super, super spiky, which could be the point. I mean, it's, you know, Pro Tour. That, yeah. that could just be their way of weeding it down to exactly the people that it's meant for.
So the people like you and I don't show up, somehow accidentally spike a PTQ.
Yeah, we ruin things for everyone.
And end up being douchebag morons on the Pro Tour. Like, look at me, I brought this EDH deck in a Pro Tour, or you know.
I mean, if I make the Pro Tour, I'm going to have a Battle of Woods deck just so I can meet all the judges.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, that's, come on.
I'll meet all the judges. I'll get the feature match. I'll get that sponsorship from,
what,
I don't know,
what
Jack's
you want to do is just go and buy the booster battle pack just before the Pro Tour from one of the vendors. Don't even sleeve it. Shuffle
no, why would I? Thing's worth like $10. I'm fine.
That's right.
Just show up with the dual decks. See what happens.
Nice. So, final analysis on that. You think it'll be all right? I mean, it sucks from the player's perspective, but it's not just about the players. It's about
from your quote. Yeah, I was going to say from your quote unquote average player who wins a PPTQ standpoint. Yeah, it kind of sucks. But it's not really being done to screw you over. It's being done to help the stores, is my guess. It may very well change the, not necessarily the meta, but the kinds of players that you get going to RPTQs. You're right. It may just be the spiky folks who end up there.
Which, I mean, I think it's going to impact who goes to PPTQs.
I'm sorry, RPTQs.
I think that's what he meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, could be fine. It could also just be a matter of, it's a Magic tournament. I want to go play. People might
I don't know.
Show up.
Play more Magic.
And, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to be fair, I got within 2 wins of going to a Pro Tour back in the day. Bill got within 1.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I got within 3 and you got within 2.
Yeah. I mean, it was sufficiently close.
Yeah. And,
back then, like, if either of us had done a little bit better, like, we would have actually gotten travel and everything.
Yeah.
That was before the system.
And that's not a thing, like, neither of us, let's be honest, has a place at a Pro Tour. That's ridiculous.
I mean, not playing, God
no. Not playing, yeah.
Well, but now we could advertise this show as being hosted by Pro Tour player Chewy.
That's true.
Look, if we were going to call in the hype on that, we call in the fact that people who used to be on this show now work at Wizards.
That is true.
Well, we never mention that, ever.
Right.
Except for, like, right now.
Yeah.
And every other chance we get.
So regardless.
That's Gavin Verhey. Sam Stoddard was a regular guest. Aren't there 3? Isn't there another one?
I was going to say, pretty sure there was one other.
Who am I missing?
If you're the one we're missing, first of all, send us a message. Second of all, preview card would be awesome.
And third, sorry about that.
Yeah. And yeah, third, it's totally Squee's fault.
Yeah, go with that. That's fine.
Hashtag blame Squee.
He couldn't quite read it because his eyes were lasers now.
Hashtag stop the gob.
Okay, anyway, let's go to something else. We've
plenty of other stuff.
All right.
Okay, what is this? This is Amonkhet. Don't need that. What is this? Oh, yeah, the Amonkhet Planeswalker deck lists are out, in case you want to see that. Link's in the show notes.
Sweet.
There's the tokens. Here's the release note. Wow, this crap I talked about and didn't close. Okay, here we go. More announcements from later last week that would have been on this show. Anyway, they announced Commander 2017 is coming out in August. August 25th, in fact.
All right.
4 decks. Wait, what?
Not 5.
4?
4?
We are no longer doing the color cycle nonsense.
Yes, they've run out. They've decided they're done with the whole color thing. They're doing 4 that will be tribal.
Huh.
Based on some of Magic's most popular and interesting tribes.
So, wait, let me see if I can guess. Wizard, Insect.
Uh-huh.
Skeleton. Sure,
skeleton.
Eyes.
And eyes, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. There's going to be an elves. There's going to be a goblins. There's probably going to be a zombies.
And slippers. Yes.
And so, I don't know if they'll go slivers.
I don't know that they'll go slivers, but it'd be the easiest one to print five color.
That's true.
Either that or elementals.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I could see elementals. Could be humans.
That'd be stupid.
It says most popular and interesting, so that's not it.
Ah.
Yeah. Human is boring.
Warrior?
Okay. I mean, that could work. But anyway, that's all we got from that. That's literally all that's there is tribal, the name, Commander 2017, and a release date, done. Okay, moving
on. And MSRP of $34.99.
Oh, right. That's the other
thing. You will never see that posted on this website again, so remember it.
Yes, I was going to say, write that down, because we're never going to deny that ever again. All right.
Okay, then, so do we stop there, or do we do the policy changes and then go back up and do the other stuff?
Let's hit the policy changes. Let's go ahead and knock that out.
These, there are a lot of these for judges. As far as players, we've managed to narrow it down to the most important things.
Yeah. So, as is typical when, new sets are happening, we have new sets of rules. And so the IPG and the MTR, that is the infraction procedure guide, which dictates, penalties and whatnot at tournaments, and the MTR, the Magic Tournament Rules, that actually dictate how tournaments go, those get updated every time we have new sets released. And Mr. Toby Elliott has some fantastic notes for anybody who's interested in all of the nitty-gritty details. Most of you don't care about most of these. I think I can say that with some degree of certainty.
Almost certainly.
If you really want to know everything that's in here, I am certain that those nice folks over on JudgeCast will have some specifics about all of the changes. So we're not going to talk about most of them, but we're going to hit with the top three changes for policy. The first one is a change to how the shortcut rules work. So you may recall, there's this shortcut. Let's say Chewie and I are playing a game and we're in my first main phase and I look at Chewie and I go, combat? And Chewie goes, sure. Or maybe, I think he's going to go, we would then previously end up in my declare attacker step. And at that point, it's too late for me to crew vehicles. That's not going to work. I would have had to explicitly say, I'd like to go to the beginning of combat step if that's what I wanted to do. So that was weird and unintuitive, and there are some other abilities that kind of need to happen during beginning of combat rather than declare attackers, because you all remember your parts of the turn, right? Of course. So in the combat phase, we have beginning of combat and then declare attackers. If we make it to declare attackers, the very first thing you have to do is, wait for it, declare attackers. You can't activate abilities or any of that kind of jazz.
That does sound important.
So things have been altered now. When you're in your first main phase and you attempt to pass priority to move out of that phase, it is assumed that if your opponent then takes an action, they are taking it in your beginning of combat phase, beginning of combat step. Didn't want any tweets about that. Unless they say otherwise. So unless they explicitly go, no, I'm doing this at the end of your first main phase. If they don't take any action, it's assumed that you now have priority in the beginning of combat step, because that's your chance to activate ability. So basically, the way you thought it worked before is the way it works, is kind of what it comes down to.
Yay.
As always, if you need to do something at a specific time, just tell your opponent that that's when you're doing it. Okay.
It's
don't
really
don't try
hard.
And be tricksy. Just go ahead and tell them, look, beginning of combat step, I'm going to crew this vehicle so that I can hit you with it. That's why I've got it out here.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Now, the last time this made a stink, which was just a few weeks ago, which I'm guessing is part of what led to this policy change.
Part of, although apparently this change has been in the works for a little while. So it wasn't just that.
Well, good. I'm sure that lit a small fire under them at the very least.
It may have, yes.
So what we said was, this is the way it's been for like a decade, is that way that Clues just got done explaining the way it was.
Yes.
And if you play Magic, you should know this, like high level tournament Magic. You should know this, and you should know how it works, because that's how it's been forever.
Right.
Even though, and then we said, just be very clear about when you're doing things.
That's right.
And to be fair, that last part hasn't changed. Just be clear. Say it. Don't just assume things. Say it.
And don't try to be Trixie.
Yeah. Because
these problems actually only come out when someone thinks they're being clever.
Yeah, and it's almost always you're just being a jerk. Maybe stop that. If the only way you're going to win is by being a jerk, I'm just going to put it out there. We really don't want you there. There, I said it. If that's your strategy, if your strategy is just I'm going to be a jerk and that's how I'm going to win games, yeah, I'd really rather you didn't. Maybe go play. No, I was going to say something mean about another game. Never mind. Never mind. Just ooh, don't.
Ooh. Maybe just go play don't. By yourself. There we go.
Wheaton's Law. Know yes. it. Keep it. Okay? Great. All right, so that's the shortcut thing. There's some more communication stuff that is kind of important, but it didn't make our top three cut. The next one is, so there are some cards in Magic right now, most likely auras, that are, hey, I'm going to put this aura on your creature, not mine, or your permanent, not mine. And when it comes in and I stick it on your thing, it taps that thing. And then that thing doesn't untap anymore. Okay. That we're looking at you malfunction. Okay. That's kind of the biggie right now. It used to be that, because that is a triggered ability, the tapping part, you could miss that. And if you missed it, things got real weird and awkward when it was noticed. And they're like, yeah, that's kind of silly. Let's just go ahead and fix those. So. There has now been a change in the MTR that if you've got, in the IPG, that these are now a kind of trigger that I'm not going to say can't be missed, but they're the kind of trigger that doesn't expire. We just fix it when we find it. So since it is a trigger that, you know, cause that thing was supposed to be tapped, right? We know it. You know it. We just didn't actually tap it at the time.
Right.
When it's noticed, we're just going to go ahead and do that now, is essentially what it boils down to. It's a little more complicated than that. And if you're a judge, you should go read this. Don't take what I just said as the way you're going to, you know, interpret policy. But from a player's standpoint, look, it was supposed to be tapped. We're going to do that now. And this really only affects a very small subset of cards, but it now makes them work much more intuitively with the missed trigger penalties and, well, the fixes to the missed trigger penalties, really. So there's that one. If this applies to you, you probably play blue. I guess I'll leave it at that. The last one that I want to mention.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic, so everything's fine. The last one that I want to mention, this one's always been one that kind of stuck in my craw, so I'm glad that they went ahead and fixed this one. They're just stitching these loopholes closed is what they're doing. It used to be, so let's say I've got an effect that says name a card, and I were to then name a card or give a partial name that is also the name of a card, right? Or there was some ambiguity to the card that I just named.
Let's just say Borborygmos.
Yeah, that's a very good example. Borborygmos. So I've got something that says, name a card, players can't play cards with that name, and I just go Borborygmos. Well, yeah, there's more than one card with the name Borborygmos. So we're now going to go ahead and fix that. So it's very, very short, but I'm now going to read the actual text that's in the MTR for this. It's in section 3.6, if you want to go look it up yourself, under card identification and interpretation. A card is considered named in a game when a player has provided a description, which may include the name or partial name, that could only apply to one card. Any player or judge realizing a description is still ambiguous must seek further clarification. Okay, that's the important bit. So if we're playing a game and Squee goes Borborygmos, I have to go, which one do you mean? I need to know.
Do you mean Borborygmos Enraged or Borborygmos Chill?
Yeah, that's right. So, but as long as it's unambiguous to everybody involved, everything's fine. But if it is ambiguous, everybody now has a responsibility to go, wait a minute, let's actually make this right. Which, once again, this is just Wheaton's Law written out really long is what that is. And those are your top three policy changes.
Woo!
Policy changes. That was exciting. Changes. We should do that every time. Even if there aren't three policy changes, we'll make up one.
God, please don't do that.
Power has gone to your head.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. Oh, it's such a
good and hit. Also invocations are totally tournament legal. Anyone who thought that would be a concern is frankly dumb.
Yeah, I didn't make that one of the top three because I didn't realize that was a problem. But here we are. This is apparently the world we live in.
Some of the detractors of the invocations were like, well, they're not even tournament legal because the border isn't white or black. And I'm like, you know, they're Wizards writes those, so they have they're gonna fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did. Now the term is non-silver.
That's right.
And so, also before you message us, they still have to have a magic back. So right. All of those old special gold bordered nonsense still count.
Still not legal. That's right.
Yeah.
They thought of that too.
By the way, having seen invocations in person, because I opened one at the pre-release. What?
Who are you and what have you done with Chewie?
It was, dude, all of a sudden there was a containment priest in my hand and I was like, what? So yeah, got that containment priest. Pretty sick. Sending it off to my good buddy Chris Lansdell to help him finish foiling his Death and Taxes legacy deck as soon as I make it over to the post office.
To the Canada?
As soon as I make it up to the Canadas. Let me just get right on that.
Well, once you get down from the internets, you can go up to the Canadas.
That's true, yeah.
Both of them.
But yeah, that's pretty awesome. And having seen them in person now, because even before that, I went and looked at one that Lucky had at the card shop. And yeah, the name of the card stands out from the hieroglyphics.
Yeah, it looks like it's clearly a lot more bold in person.
Yeah.
Than it did.
Okay, well that's actually really good to hear.
The type line is not as much bolded.
Is he still a prevert?
What? No, the type line.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, because you can see the bolding in the name, does it still look like Prevert?
I mean, it never did. I read Fervent the first time I saw it, and I'd never seen the original. You had to point out that it looked like Pervert, and I was like, oh. So
good times.
But, yeah, the type line is still a little fuzzy, but, I mean, you just look at it.
Do you need the laser eyes?
No, Bill got those, so I didn't get a chance.
Hmm. Wait, there was only one set of laser eyes available?
Yeah.
And Bill got them? Way to go, Bill. Yeah, man.
It's pretty sick.
Had to move quick.
He won the bid because I'm broke.
he outbid Chewie. It was a low bar. He did outbid Chewie.
He's like, all right, I'll throw in $5 more. And I was like, I'm out.
Chewie's like, I got like a Mountain Dew Code Red. I can put that in the pot.
I got a rock.
Sir, this bottle is empty.
It was a long wait, man.
Anyway. So yeah. That was pretty hype. I enjoyed it. I did not play it because it's mostly useless in this format. So, but I'm okay with that. Yeah.
But might as well keep it unplayed so that Chris Lansdell can enjoy playing it.
It's true. I stood there looking at it for a minute going, wow, holy crap, dude. And then I went, oh, and I grabbed a sleeve and put it in the sleeve.
So two things.
Two things.
First thing, at least two things. First thing. Today's a really awesome day. Second thing, I'm really happy to hear that these things look better in person than they do in the online pictures. Cause I was really concerned. I still am not a fan, but I haven't seen one in person. I was kind of busy this weekend. More on that later. But I'm happy to hear that they're much better in person. Tell me though, do they in fact look like Magic cards when you're in person? When you see it on the table, Do you think to yourself, oh, that's a really awesome Magic card? Or do you think to yourself, what in God's name is that? Ha, God's name. Cause see, it's a, I see gods are in this set.
I never saw it on the table across from me. And I knew that the one that was sitting there with my stuff was in fact a Magic card. So I think your question is flawed.
Okay. I think your answer is flawed. You can't handle the answer.
No. I can't handle the question. Handle the answer.
The top. You can't.
No one can handle the top anymore.
Yeah. Today's a good third thing. Today's a good day.
Yeah, it is. So, that looks like there was a Commander banned and restricted list update. Let's just.
Oh man, that's important.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Leovold, Emissary of Trest. You know, the guy who's been making splash in Legacy.
Yeah. Remind me, which guy is that?
Isn't he the one that says opponents can't draw more than one card or something?
Yeah, that sounds like that guy. I think I like that guy.
Leov.
Yeah, each opponent can't draw more than one card each turn. Whenever your permanent you control becomes target of a spell or ability, you may draw a card. That an opponent controls, you may draw a card. Yeah. Important.
So yeah, he is banned in Commander. Not as a commander, just banned in Commander.
Just straight up, forget
just,
it.
Just get out of here. But they've also unbanned Protean Hulk.
Huh.
Now, Protean Hulk, if you'll recall, is the thing for 7 that when it dies, you search your library for any number of creature cards with total converted mana cost 6 or less and put them onto the battlefield. So you can go get a 2-drop, a 2-drop, and a 2-drop.
Or go get Sun Titan.
Or go get, like, all of your 0-drops, I guess? That's how that works? It totally is, isn't it?
Is there a Cheerios Commander deck?
I hope not.
Yeah. Let's go with yes. Just to be silly.
But so, you cannot use Protean Hulk to go get Leovold because no.
Because he's banned.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've banned Leovold, they've unbanned Protean Hulk, and goody gumdrops.
Have they banned those?
They were never legal.
Yeah. Not in Commander.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe French
what
Commander,
about,
but nobody cares.
About French Commander. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a dual commander update too, but it's not technically a real supported format, so go find it if you're interested.
Is there a Frontier Commander?
Okay, so let's, for a friend. Let's get to the real.
They're not really your friend. Let's move on.
Let's get to the real thing here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Today's a good day?
Yeah. Why Clues?
Oh,
why oh why? Is it because nothing was banned in Standard? It's because
I don't know. I didn't read that part. I'm not going to lie to you. There was this banned. Okay, so as is their wont, WotC now has banned and restricted announcements more often than they used to. And there was a banned and restricted announcement today, April the 24th, 2017, a day that will be celebrated for possibly eternity. I'm not sure. Can't prove it. There was a banning that occurred today. Now, Today was a good day. oh boy. I was trying not to be, you know, emotional about this, but this morning I was getting ready for class and I thought, oh, you know, I'm just about ready. Maybe I'll take a quick look at Twitter. And there were all these tweets and I saw them and I'm like, no, that can't be happening. There's no way this is true, but no one's linking to this announcement and I can't find it on the WotC site because I can't find anything on the WotC site. And then, finally, someone sent me a link, and there it was in Legacy. I'm going to utter some words here, and these may be the 5 most beautiful words in the English language when combined this way. Sensei's Divining Top is banned.
Woo!
Look at that. Do-do-do-do. Oh,
so
man.
In Clues' world, this is second only to, sure, Clues, I'll marry you.
You're not far off. You're really not.
I really appreciate the fact that I was thinking it and you said it.
All right. Yeah. So yes, Sensei's Divining Top, stop the hashtag, stop the top. You can stop that now because the top has been stopped.
It's 5-year journey.
In response, Miracles players everywhere spun the top because that's what they do.
Well, that's what they used to do.
Yeah, so there we go. Basically, in their rationale for this, WotC says, hey, you know that Miracles deck, it's been like real good for a long, long time now. And we like insta-banned top in Modern because it sucks in tournaments and we hate that. We left it in Legacy because I guess we hoped that another card would fix that and it never really did. So we're going to ban it. So there you go. It's banned. Enjoy. Now, let me take off my party hat for just a minute. Okay. Just going to set the party hat aside. I have no idea what this is going to do. I'm actually a little worried. I'm excited though. I'm really excited to see what happens to the Legacy metagame now that Miracles is gone. Was Miracles completely oppressive and just had to go? I would auto concede to Miracles because I literally did not want to play that matchup anymore. Does that count? It made life not fun for anyone who wasn't playing a Miracles deck, I guess is what I'm saying.
Now, as far as the metagame goes, there was a time when Miracles was miserable and oppressive and everywhere.
Yes.
And they just let it ride and eventually it corrected itself sort of.
Sort of is the issue.
But Miracles has never not been a top deck. And even, I think it was last week. No, we didn't record last week. 2 weeks ago, The previous episode, damn it. When we were looking at the Legacy metagame and we're like, look at all this diversity except for all these damn Miracles decks.
Yeah, because... I mean, the way I phrased it was that Miracles has been a disproportionate part of the field for some time now.
Right.
And so I don't know what's going to fill that hole. Now, that being said, I'm not kidding when I say I have no idea what this is going to do, because so Miracles was keeping crazy combo decks in check.
Well, let's acknowledge a few things here. So they got rid of the top. The top was just printed in Eternal Masters.
It was.
So that's awkward that they just printed and banned it. Like, and by just, I mean a year ago, but I mean, this is an Eternal format. So
yeah,
that's kind of a thing. One of the reasons that top is so heavily played is Counterbalance, which was just printed in this set as an invocation. Counterbalance is still legal. How likely is that going to continue to see play, Clues, without top to manipulate it?
Hard to say. There are still cards that let you manipulate your library. None of them are quite as consistent and smooth as Sensei's Divining Top. I mean, it was really...
How many of them
was the enabler, right? It just made that deck so smooth. And that was my problem with top, is it made what should have been a complicated and difficult strategy that involved at least a modicum of luck. It made it far too consistent. And so I'm glad it's gone. I'm not saying that's going to fix everything and happy times are here again and Legacy is the most wonderful thing ever now that top is gone. But I am super excited to see what it actually does to the Legacy metagame. Now, all I have to do is just look at all of the Legacy tournaments that pop up and look at their results and,
The next, Legacy event that I've seen across the calendars is the Legacy Classic at SCG Louisville in a few weeks on May 20 to 21.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens then.
Wait, if there's a Legacy Classic, doesn't that mean there's a Legacy Open?
No, because the Open is team constructed, and then the Classics are the three constructed formats.
Oh, excuse me, hiccups. Yes, that one.
Well done.
Forgot about that week.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
So yes, although I am super, super happy about this announcement, my expectations for, you know, everything being sunshine and roses from here on out are tempered a bit. I'm celebrating. I'm having a great time. I think today is a great day. I will be 100% honest. If today turns out not to be a great day, I will come on this very show and say, yeah, I was wrong. We should maybe get that top back. But I'm real skeptical that that's going to happen.
I think the sad fact is that there is so little Legacy that's getting widespread attention that it's going to be a long time before we know.
Yeah, that is a sad fact. But hey, if there is a large Legacy tournament going on somewhere in the country that we're unaware of, let me qualify this, that's going to post results so we can see the decks that are in it, let us know. You know, send me a tweet, say, hey, Clues, we've got like a 200 player Legacy event that happens every third Tuesday. Here's its website. Yeah, go ahead and let us know. But I suspect that most local Legacy events are, you know, maybe 10 players when they fire. So to see a really true big diverse metagame, we have to wait for the like two tournaments a year that we get.
Yeah, because like I said, the next one that I can find is Louisville at the end of May. And then the next big Wizards one is part of the Vegas stuff going on in June when they're doing pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So it may be a little bit.
Now,
all right, I'm going to go get my party hat again.
Now, if you would like to hear more people that actively play and discuss and think analytically of Legacy than us... there are plenty of podcasts to do that. Here on MTGcast, there is, Leaving a Legacy. I think Legacy Weapon is on its way back or something like that. I can't remember now and I'm very sorry. But there are other places to go. I know Leaving a Legacy has been around forever. In fact, they're on episode 130, which I just, approved. That is not about this because that went up, yesterday. But their next episode, I'm sure, will be all about this. There's apparently also Tusk Talk, but they publish very irregularly. There's also the Community Legacy League recap. So they're, I think Super Secret Tech might also be about Legacy. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay, so the main one on MTGcast is Leaving a Legacy. Go look them up. Give them a listen. Feel free to tell them we sent you. And yeah.
Now, that said, because clues, you got this monkey paw on, you wished away Sensei Divining Top. You got some secondary effects by affecting two blue cards in Vintage.
Sick.
I gotta be honest, I don't know what you're talking about, because after I read this, I didn't read any more of the banned and restricted announcement, because I didn't think any of it could possibly apply to me. And I stand by that decision. So tell me, Squee, what's going on?
Okay, so you guys remember how Gitaxian Probe is banned in Modern?
Yeah.
It's now also banned in Vintage. Still legal in Legacy.
You remember how Phyrexian Mana was a terrible idea and maybe shouldn't have happened?
I never forgot.
Okay.
But yeah, so Gitaxian Probe restricted in Vintage, because they don't really ban things. They just restrict them, right?
Right.
Yeah, the only things that are banned are cards that aren't...
like anti-cards or whatever,
anti-cards,
right?
And anti-cards, yeah. Physical dexterity cards like the...
Chaos Orb?
Chaos Orb, that's the one.
Yeah.
That which would become confetti. Yeah. And so the other card, the other blue card that was restricted is Gush.
Ooh, oh.
Which is a good call, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, but that's going to shake up the Vintage metagame.
Well, yeah. The Vintage metagame is apparently sort of stagnant at the moment. It's the Monastery Mentor decks, and the only decks that can stand up against them are apparently Workshop decks. So, yeah, you remember when Monastery Mentor was in Standard and it was really good, and then in Legacy it was really good? Well, apparently in Vintage it's insane.
Because you don't have to spend mana.
Exactly. So they're removing these two, well, essentially free spells.
Yeah.
Which knocks six free spells out of the deck, because you can go from four to now just one of each.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that will weaken the Monastery Mentor decks.
Now, you think it's going to take a while to find out if this change in Legacy means anything. Let's talk about how Vintage gets reported. That was fun. Okay, wait a minute.
There's another line here. Also, it says, hopefully the move away from free spells in the Mentor decks will lessen the impact of the Workshop deck's various Sphere of Resistance effects. You know, the spells cost one more, or what, Trinisphere, they cost a minimum of three, something like
minimum
that.
Minimum of three, yeah.
Which will then further open up the Vintage metagame. Now, if you want to hear more about Vintage, you can go listen to So Many Insane Plays. I'm certain their next episode will be all about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You guys get the impression that this is, you know, our payback for griping about the lack of mention of Legacy and Vintage in the last several of these reports. They've been thinking about it. They've just been taking longer to do things.
And again, that's almost certainly because of fewer and fewer data points.
Mm-hmm. Which is
also
fair.
Thank you, Watsy. I love my present.
So, clues, was it worth driving all the way out there and putting a sign in front of the building?
Look, I had nothing to do with that. I want to be clear. I have been advised by counsel that I had nothing to do with that.
Okay, then.
Although, whoever did that, way to go, man. That was awesome. And by the way, I forget who it was. Sam Stoddard. Yeah, Sam Stoddard did tweet. Yeah, they had made the decision to ban top before somebody put up that sign. So I'm just going to call that the icing on the cake. And that cake was delicious.
By the way, for those that don't know, there was a sign, a traffic sign, in front of WotC headquarters one day, I guess, week before last, or maybe even Monday last week, that said...
ban Sensei's top, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. We'll find the link, because it was all over the internet. Goodness knows, it was sent to me literally
by everyone.
Every conceivable way that people could contact me except for YouTube comments. Like, I got a Facebook message. I got several Facebook messages directly. I got a Facebook message to the Manipool. I got a post on the Manipool's Facebook page. I got emailed. I got tweeted at.
Everybody assumed it was me and sent me tweets about it. So
I was tagging some of those.
Wasn't me, but I approve.
Yeah.
I told people that is not Clues of Style. Clues of Style would have been to stand in front of the front door and when people tried to walk in, just to yell at them. Excuse me, sir. Yes, could you ban the top?
I just need to talk to you about something very briefly. Stop the top! All of the top stopping. I found the link, by the way. I'll throw that in the show notes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Cool. So we got that. And then just because the other thing of note is what isn't here, which is a change to standard or modern.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Modern, as we say, every time there's a modern thing, looks pretty healthy. Death Shadow decks are, you know, since the big win a few weeks ago, have been growing in popularity, but the metagame is starting to shape around them. So that and Death Shadow is just popping out into other decks that are running black. Just because, oh, wait, this card is actually just good. Huh, how about that? So that's a thing, but it's because the metagame is shifting around it. They're going to let it ride. It's still healthy. It's still very diverse. They do say they're keeping an eye on color balance, which, sure, whatever, you know, have fun.
Sure they didn't mean counterbalance and just mistyped that?
Yeah, I don't think so, no.
All right.
And then in standard, they're watching closely, and they do say we've not seen the movement in the format we'd hoped for with the Grand Prix in the latter half of the season. Really? Wait, who called that? Did we call that? I think that might have been us. We were also hopeful, but when it didn't happen, we made sure to point out that it didn't happen. So they're going to gather more data, of course, but they say that Amonkhet has a number of exciting and powerful cards, both proactive and reactive. And it's not like when, what's the name of it? It's Aether Revolt. I can't remember Aether Revolt for some reason. It's not like when Aether Revolt came out and they banned stuff right then. Even
yeah.
though there was a new set, apparently they've looked at the cards in Amonkhet and said, okay, there are enough tools here to make a difference. Let's hope that they do. So they're pushing this one off to the just after the Pro Tour date.
It's going to be right after Vegas.
Yeah, which is fine because there is no standard at Vegas. They're doing – it's Legacy. Wait, it's not Legacy, is it? It's Modern –
Vegas is everything.
Vegas is everything but standard. So yeah, it's Legacy. So wait, why didn't you mention Legacy in the upcoming things? Why didn't you mention Vegas?
I did.
He did.
Oh, good. I wasn't listening then. Cool. So right, yeah, excellent. There's Legacy, Modern, and Limited. So there's no standard there. With whatever, that's fine. It's in the weeks leading up to it, there will be plenty of data for them to gather.
By the way, speaking of data and them gathering, Aaron Forsyth did tweet the following earlier today. The catalyst for banned and restricted changes to any format is player feedback. Then we go to data, design theory, and testing. So thank you for all your feedback. So those of you who were routinely using the hashtag #StopTheTop, I'm going to say victory. Now, hashtag #StopTheCats, I guess?
No, I like the cats.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it's more #StopTheCars.
Oh, stop the cars. Yeah.
Yeah. I
stop the heart.
Ooh, hashtag heart. Ooh. I'm walking here.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Speaking as someone who uses a lot of hashtags, that's going to break if you keep the apostrophe in. So it'll be
yeah, it totally
hashtag
will.
Stop. I'm walking here.
Yeah.
Stop walking here.
No, but seriously, you know, they've got some tools. We'll see what the tools do. I am not – some people have asked me now, what am I going to protest? Look, I wasn't protesting just to protest. I really hated Sensei's Divining Top.
It's true. He
still
did.
Do. So, yeah, I'm not sure that I have any sort of thing to rally behind as far as a Magic banned and restricted goes.
Oh, Clues, you will be happy to know.
Yeah.
I did end up using one of the punch cards at the pre-release.
Yes.
And it was.
Did you leave it behind?
It wasn't until the last round. So I was like, oh, and I fought with the damn thing. Oh, here we go. And okay, cool. And I threw it down on my dude that said embalmed. No. Yeah, I did use the embalmed and I used the exerted one because each one was double sided. That's not a thing they told us.
No. And that actually was something that I was really happy to see because.
Yeah, it was really cool. Huh.
Based on as they were printed as not having different things, I'm like, but you need three bricks for everything. This is stupid.
Yeah. So. The side that they showed us that had like embalmed, exerted, and then +1/+1 and brick.
Uh-huh.
If you flip it over, then each one is the opposite of what it was on the front.
So every embalm was also an exert and every brick was also a -1, which is a lot cleaner.
Yeah. Huh. It's really cool.
Fascinating.
So,
and
yeah.
Now, what about my prediction that they would be left all over the tables everywhere?
Now, at Lucky's, I did not see any because I got up and said, hey, you know, I got it 2-0 and sat back down. And then I gathered up all my crap and I stood up and I picked it up and took it over to the trash can and dropped it. And I even said to the guy, I looked down and saw it on the table. I said, whoops, let me not be that guy. And
yeah, he goes,
what guy? I'm like, the guy that leaves this crap on the table. He's like, yeah, don't be that guy. And I was like, I like you. So
nobody likes that guy.
Yeah. So in addition to, opening an invocation, I ended up going 3-1 at the pre-release.
Nice.
All three rounds that I won were 2-0, and the one round that I lost was 0-2. Oh. Including a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad color screw for game two that left me all manner of salty. Just like, just mad.
I believe that, though,
because I could not, I had 5 lands in play when I died. All of it was white with a handful of black cards. It was not cool. But I ended up doing very well. You can hear all about it on the next episode of the Mana Pool, which was recorded live via a handheld recorder thing for me and Mike and Brian.
Cool.
Yay.
I will not bother you with a whole list of things that I did, but I will note that Glorybringer is ridiculous, as I expected it to be. That's the dragon. Turns out exerting when you can do 4 damage directly to a creature is pretty great. So that was great. I have a Glorious End. I did not get to play it, which made me sad because, like, I knew I shouldn't play it, so I didn't. But sure enough, there was one game that went to turns, and I really wish I had Glorious End in that game because it would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
I do think that Glorious End actually might have some viability just for the ability to end the turn after they declare attackers, as they're probably tapped out for Alpha Strike, but then you realize you've just made a suicidal fog. Because it's pretty much what it does.
Lose.
Fog, I'm going to win or lose next turn. Huh. Yeah, it's interesting. Overall, I had a lot of fun playing with the cards. I don't really know how much I'm going to get to play the format because I keep saying I will when I have fun in the pre-release and then I don't. I will note that I played against one of the listeners, actually, which is kind of cool. And they're like, you sound like you. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And that was pretty cool.
You take that back. I don't sound like me at all.
Also, I saw a lot of Liliana specifically. Liliana was the go-to mythic for everyone else to open. So she was everywhere, and she's pretty good. Where she makes 2/2 zombies every turn. Pretty sick.
I hear that's pretty good. I didn't see any Lilianas at ours.
So a lot of Lilianas. The listener I played against had 2 of the gods, the black one and the green one, which is pretty interesting because the black one's large enough to enable the green one. So it's like, you're actually fighting the green one. The black one needs to kill things to do stuff. But yeah, it's fun seeing the gods actually play together as opposed to those Theros gods that hate each other. So that's kind of cool. I saw that some people were opening Gideons, but I didn't play against any of them. So I guess I'm happy for that. And yeah, like in general, I had fun with it. I'm not really sure how I feel about the format yet because sealed is weird. Oh, what was your promo card, Chewy?
The draw X cards and discard one.
Sounds pretty good.
My blue sucked though, so I didn't.
Yeah, my blue also sucked. And my promo card was the Sphinx that counters the first thing you try to do to it each turn.
Ah.
Which seems like it would be useful. One thing I will note that this may become a standard relevant card. There's the 2 mana green, mana dude who comes in with 3 -1/-1 counters.
Oh my god.
That is sick. That is so much sicker than I thought it was gonna be. And I already thought it was gonna be pretty good.
Yeah, they've got, and when they're done using it, they've got a 3/4 just free all of a sudden. Or, as one of my opponents did, you play that 4/4 for 2 that throws 3 -1/-1 counters on something to refill it.
Ooh.
So, yeah,
so now suddenly he's got a 4/4 and a mana dork again, and I'm like, I can't beat that.
Yeah, so the Channeler Initiate is the card.
That's
and,
the one. Yeah.
It comes in essentially as an 0/1 that can tap for mana, but with all of the different counter manipulation, I actually used other effects that removed counters with it because my deck just had sufficient mana all the time. Then I just ran it as a 2-mana 3/4. And if they tried to do anything to hurt it, I got mana for it. Also, because there's no mana burn, you can totally leave it up on your opponent's turn, declare it as a blocker, tap to make it bigger, and then spend the mana on a combat trick. It's going to probably see constructed play if the ramp deck is a thing. Because only the problem is you draw these things late and they suck. But in this case, you draw it late and you use any manipulation at all and it's a 3-4 in the battlefield. I think that's going to be legit. So just my immediate reaction after playing with the card even one day. And I don't think any of these scenarios are that far-fetched. So
yeah, I didn't even play with it. I played against it and yeah.
It's really awesome when your mana dork becomes a Tarmogoyf.
He's like, I don't need the mana this turn. I'll just attack you for two with it. And I was like, damn. Like,
yeah, and it happens a lot. I would always leave the last one on there so I could bluff colors if I needed to, but it's still a very aggressive creature for that reason.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Just be aware of that. Pretty awesome. Should we segue over to Magic Online now?
Seems like the time for it. I have some questions for you, Squee, when you talk about the Magic Onlines, but we'll get to
it. Oh, we'll have a bit of it. So part of the reason that...
We missed a thing.
We did.
We missed?
The one piece of fluff.
Oh, well then you should go into that.
Yeah, this one, I mean, it's from April 7th, but we...
Oh, yeah. Just
getting around to it. So this was Mark Rosewater's Blogatog Tumblr page. Someone asked, we have another well, they didn't ask. This is a statement. We have another standard environment with a top level Liliana and Gideon. I get you want to push the Gatewatch, but the same ones is a little tiring. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Cause we get the same, you know, small handful of Planeswalkers over and over and over and over and over and over, which has been the complaint of, some people out there, including, you know, some of the people on this show even, since the whole Gatewatch thing happened and then kept going and then kept going. So, Rosewater says, I'll just read this. It says, when we started with the Gatewatch storyline, we began with the assumption that the Gatewatch, the core five at least, should always be represented on Planeswalker cards in Standard. And this is the important bit. And remember, Standard was 18 months at the time. This was before they rolled it back. As we started to roll this plan out, we got feedback from many of you that this was problematic. Yes, you wanted Gatewatch Planeswalkers, but we didn't need to do them so often. You wanted the opportunity to see other favorites return or have new Planeswalkers in some of these slots. So, starting with Hours of Devastation, because the lead-in on design time and whatnot is so long, Hour of Devastation is the first set that they could revamp, so they have. They're going to pull back significantly on how often Gatewatch Planeswalkers appear. They'll appear when it's important, but at a much slower rate. We will use those slots instead to do more returning and new Planeswalkers. So, all you Tybalt fans out there,
Do we get to find out what happened to Sorin?
I mean, maybe.
Do you want to know where he's at story-wise?
Well, I know where he was at when we last saw him story-wise. I want to know, you know, how that turned out for him.
Wasn't he part of a wall?
He was, in fact.
Yeah, he cannot attack.
He's holding up his own, you know,
he has defender now.
It's like, fine.
I love this new base relief. Sorin you've got here. It's an art joke.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. He's pretty much like Viggo right now.
Isn't he impressive? He's Viggo, huh?
He's Viggo. He's Sorin. Sorin Markov. Yeah, although also note that last year, even though this had already sort of been in motion, they did adjust the way that they were handling the Eldritch Moon set so that they could include Tamiyo because they knew that people wanted Tamiyo. And I think they're trying their best to incorporate more of the Planeswalkers when possible. So I'm very in favor of this. I like seeing the core ones around, and that's cool, but aside from just the fun of seeing all the other Planeswalkers that can exist, like the requisite, and here's the werewolf Planeswalker in the werewolf set kind of stuff, it's also mechanically relevant since there are disincentives to run multiple Planeswalkers with the same type at one time. So it'll be nice to see some variety there.
And also,
we'll see how it works.
The core Gatewatch Planeswalkers, there's only so much you can do with them flavor-wise on Magic cards. without having a like this whole new Nissa being blue and green. There's a story reason for that, I assume. I'm pretty sure
there is. They said there is.
Okay, good. And that's a way to get more use out of a given planeswalker, but without having things happening to each one, then Liliana's always going to be zombies, and Gideon's always going to be punching things, and Jace is always going to be brain stuff. And
I mean, is it fair to say that Gideon has had the least innovation out of all of the planeswalkers for the number of times he's been printed?
Well, no. They kind of got him right, so
yeah.
Let's
I mean,
just...
all of his.
I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying that in general, you know what a Gideon is going to do.
Well, I mean, they all, you know, become creatures and punch things, but their other abilities are all pretty innovative, actually. I mean, the first one was a come at me, bruh. And
yeah.
The second one was bizarre and could get potentially huge.
And then kill everything.
And then this new one is, maybe don't lose the game ever. Probably not, but you know.
Yeah. I guess more what I'm saying is that we know what Gideon's gimmick is. He has that very clearly identified, and that's cool. Yeah. But if they want to do something that strays from that, they shouldn't really expect to use Gideon there. So the ability to floor other chunks of white or mono white planeswalkers, especially now that Ajani has like touched all the pieces of Naya, they're probably going to have to play with other white ones, or they could bring Elspeth back, I guess. But let's be real. If she comes back, she's probably white or black.
Probably.
Just seems likely. So,
oh my God, an hour of devastation. They're going to unwrap a mummy. And it'll be wearing a golden mask, and it'll be Elspeth, and everyone will go, that doesn't make any damn sense, and wizards will
go, we'd be happy.
Wizards will go, yay!
It's like, teach you guys to figure out Imrakul early. That's right.
It's okay, that's
it was Vincer all along.
And sometimes Tamio's there. No reason, she's just, we thought it'd be fun.
She's there.
Moon Bunny.
Because Moon Bunny, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just a little bit of not actually news, but it made us happy and other people happy. So we figured we would pass it along.
Yay.
Yay. So now Magic Online, sir.
All right. So my initial disclaimer, fast forward. They release most of the Magic Online news on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We record on Monday. So most of the news that you're going to get linked here is almost a week old. But we're going to talk about something that I would have announced last week if we did an episode. If you enjoyed playing the pre-release of Amonkhet and you don't want to wait until Friday to play Amonkhet, go to Magic Online. It's waiting for you.
What the what?
They've actually put Amonkhet on Magic Online before the physical set release.
Neat.
That's...
Yeah, I was going to say, so how do we feel about this? That's my question for you boys.
Well...
I don't play Magic Online, so I don't care.
Right. Well, so the interesting thing is, like, historically, they've gotten closer and closer to, you know, paper release with Magic Online, because once upon a time, it was literally a month.
It was, yes.
And it meant that Magic Online was pretty much dead for that month because it was no longer the relevant standard if you played Constructed, and it was boring if you played Limited, because you didn't get to play with the cards that you were having fun with in the current set with all the hype. And as they slowly marched forward, they eventually decided to go all in. Let's just make it as soon as you can after the pre-release, because they're not stuck with the limitations of paper cards. So I think that's actually pretty cool, because I know that a lot of people, especially like right now, and this will change later, but right now, Magic Online is the best option you're going to have available if you want to test for the upcoming standard environment, because you can get all the cards. You can't do that in paper without just, you know, making a lot of playtest cards. And that's pretty cool. And if you want to play against a variety of people, that's a place to do it. But I was curious to see what other people thought about this. So I put up a poll this morning on Twitter, since it was, you know, coming out. And I gave people the option of, you know, it's great. I'm super happy that this came out right now. There's no reason to wait. Or it'd probably be better if they came out the same day, which would imply that they launched it on Friday when the set comes out. Or the option of bad, I want paper to go first. Or they don't care. Which I feel is a fair option to always throw up, especially when talking about Magic Online. And so the results came out to 57 votes. So like, you know, not the most giant sample size ever, but a reasonable one. Just under half of them said that it was great and there was no reason to delay. So 49% said that. 23% said they'd rather they happen at the same time. 2%, which thanks to math we know is one person, would rather it come out on paper first. And 26% said they don't care. So in general, everyone seems to be okay with it or they don't care. And then nice. Some people would prefer if it came out the same day, which, you know, that's fair, but they're not going to do a release on a Friday.
Yeah, so philosophically, I'd like them to happen at the same time because just then it is such a nice mirror. It's got parity with
I mean, it feels nice from an aesthetic standpoint. Yes.
But at the same time, having it come out on a Friday is a horrible idea. You're right, because if it breaks, nobody's there. Secondly, giving MTGO that little boost for a week where it's like, this is literally the only place you can play if you want to play test, and hey, you want to play test, I can really see why they would want to get behind that.
Yeah. It also adds to the actual pre-release experience. Like, it's before release. But in this case, it's there. Go have fun. So that's neat. I think it's just cool that they were able to do that. And it also means that the people who are really relying on this to play test actually get more time to play test with it. So that's pretty cool. Whether or not this means that by the first weekend of events, things will be more tested than you would have thought, I don't know. I guess we'll find out next week when we start talking about New Standard after the first tournament. So that's cool. It also, though, means that we've got all those brand new set magic bugs waiting for us here in the bug blog. Because we have to have some, right?
Wouldn't be right without it.
Yeah. So there aren't too many of them here, but I'm going to jump straight into them. So Gideon Marshall Paragon, a.k.a. the 5-mana 1 from the, you know, pre-built set thing. If you return that Gideon from the graveyard using Gideon's Resolve, which just for recap, it's an enchantment, when it enters the battlefield, search your library or graveyard for Gideon Marshall Paragon, as in the one that comes with it. Reveal it and put it into your hand, so it's like a Gideon Tutor for exactly that card. Nothing appears in the game log to say that it came back from the graveyard. That's a display bug. It all works. Similarly, card As Foretold, which is a mythic in the new set, crazy blue spell, shows an error message when it's played, again, a display issue. And when Vizier of Many Faces copies a token creature, that's the new clone, which is also sick and annoying to play against Unlimited, by the way, because it has Embalm. So if the clone becomes super awesome and they kill it, get another one. It's pretty irritating. But anyway, when it copies a token creature that was created with Embalm, it will not have art. Like, no art. Sorry. I'm sure that will be fixed soon. But again, just a display issue. In fact, the only one of these things that is functional is a weird one. Players are not able to cast spells with X in their cost using mana of any color when they have cards such as Vizier of the Menagerie, which is the green Naga cleric, who the relevant text is that you can spend mana as though it were mana of any color or of any type to cast creature spells, or Oath of Nissa, which does the same thing, letting you mana of any color to do planeswalkers. Apparently you can't cast things with X in their cost using those effects right now. That's a problem.
It's going to be a pain when Oath of Nissa won't let you cast new Nissa.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. I suspect that is being fixed in the next patch. But these are things that are definitely going on, and cool. They knew about these problems before the set came out online. So if you're a Magic Online junkie who needs to know this stuff, you can keep an eye on the bug blogs and be aware of it before you run into it. Now, if you do encounter these problems and it actually affects the game, so like not the display ones, but these other ones, then you can try to petition for a refund, and sometimes you'll get it, sometimes you won't. If you catch someone playing against you who's exploiting these things, then yes, take a screenshot, report them, because that's called cheating, and they do not accept that. But yeah, that's the bug blog. The pre-releases, or I guess the release, since they don't really do pre-release, is going to be going on for a little bit, so there's not going to be a lot of other side things happening at the moment. One thing that will be noted is that when it comes to everything happening right now, they've added prestige avatars, they've added all this stuff. They've changed up the treasure chest to include stuff from the new set, like they always do. You can just sort of dig through that. There's a giant list here that I won't go into. And finally, just again as a note, there's a link to the weekly updates in here. You'll note I skipped over it before because nearly everything on this doesn't matter anymore. But there's one note on there that's interesting where it says conditional downtime on Monday, April 24th, if new banned and restricted changes are announced. So that was their way of saying that whenever banned and restricted updates happen, even if it's on like a set release day, they may need to take a pause and fix it. I don't know how strong the Magic Online Legacy community is, but I imagine they're probably having a similar experience to Clues. And that means they all universally love it, and all the people on Twitter complaining about it don't exist. Just be aware of that.
And that is good to know.
Yeah. Four people tweet, yes, we are aware that a lot of people were upset about the change, but that is their right. And I think that's really all we've got going on right now. You guys want to wrap up?
Sounds like wrap up time to me.
Okay. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob. There's no I in Goblin because, well, in the case of this time, like, my eyes were shot with four lasers.
Pew.
So, yeah. I got better because it's my way, but that means that there's no telling where the eye is. Apparently, someone on Twitter has offered to give my eye a home in their truck, which seems legit, so that's probably where it is now. Cool. But yes, just very briefly, I did get LASIK, trademark, you know, bladeless laser eye surgery last week. It was something that I was a little nervous about going in, but it was a pretty quick procedure. I will spare all of you the details of what exactly happens because it can get kind of squicky if you especially can't handle things with your eyes. But following it, I have had a few days where I couldn't really look at computer screens for long periods of time, so I am super behind on all of my Overwatch addiction. But past that, I can see without glasses, and it's awesome. So, neat. Other than that...
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew, indeed. In a month and a little over a month now, I guess, I'll be at Anime Men in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's going to be the 20th year of that convention. I used to staff it. I've attended nearly every year of it. So if you are local and you are into anime, you should definitely check it out. You've probably been before, but if not, it'll be fun. I'll be there. Crazy adventures. Other than that, I'll hand it off to Clues.
All right. Hey, if you want to hear more from me, you can find me on the Random Discard podcast, which we'll be starting back up again here soon. We've been taking a break because Rich, my co-host there, just had twins. And so he's kind of a little busy right now. But we're trying to get back on track. So soon, that's all I can say with any degree of certainty. If you want to reach me, your best way is probably the Twitters. I'm at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. And I just want to say that I spent my weekend driving to D.C., where I was part of the March for Science that happened. And on the one hand, it was very, very inspiring to hang out with a lot of fellow science enthusiasts there in D.C. The weather was absolutely abysmal. So it's great that so many people showed up for that. On the other hand,
did you check the sky?
Oh, I did check the sky, and it was cold, gray, and raining the entire time. But
yeah, it's still doing that.
here's what's great though. All of my fellow science enthusiasts, yeah, a shocking number of them were very well prepared for this. So the amount of people who were in good rain gear was pretty impressive. Because you know we know how to read a weather forecast. Because, you know, science brings us weather forecasts, and so we knew it was going to rain.
What?
So. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? It's almost like we know what we're doing. So on the one hand, it was great to be part of that, and that was my first time ever being involved in a large protest. And if you've never been, you know, if there's going to be a protest about something you care about, make the trip. You know, it's worth doing.
Provided you're in a place where it's safe to do so.
Yes. Okay. That is, yeah, I was.
Global podcast.
Right. This is a global podcast. My apologies. I was talking about being in the U.S. at least, as of right now. I can't speak for the future. On the other hand, I find it just so disheartening that a march like this was necessary. Cause come on. What's wrong with people? I don't understand. I just don't understand, but.
Wait, what are you talking about? You don't think it's weird that you have to march for facts?
Yeah, it just blows my mind that this was something we felt we had to do.
Yeah. I will note that I do appreciate seeing all of the signs that came out of this because they were.
Oh, there were some amazing signs, including ones, and I'm paraphrasing here, that were like, it's so bad, even nerds came outside to do this.
Eh.
So.
Pretty good.
There were some very self-aware signs that I saw pictures of on Facebook.
There were. So shout out to anybody who participated in one of the many, many marches that occurred, not just the one in DC, but there were satellite marches all over the world, including Antarctica, which that one blew my mind. But that was awesome. So
those three people out there marching
from pole to pole, man.
Yeah.
It was a global movement.
Yeah. I do know that, my buddy, Rob, Jungle Rat Rob from the Retro League podcast was at the march in, Utah's capital.
Nice.
Cause I saw pictures. Apparently they have a Capitol building that is similar enough to the one in DC that a quick glance, I was like, dude, I didn't know Rob was there too. Oh, wait, hang on.
I see.
Wait. So yeah, I was at a pre-release because I can't afford to go places. So sorry about that.
Oh, also that is why I missed the pre-releases, because I was busy protesting.
Well, yeah, you were doing more important things than
you were sciencing.
Dude, did you do a science? You did a science.
I did a science. I did. Anyway, that's all I got. Over to you, Chewy.
Who? Oh, me. Yeah.
Wookie, 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 wookie over there.
Really? Did you just do that to booty, 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 booty?
Possibly.
Okay. Nice.
All for you, man. All for you.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. Take it away. Take it back.
Take it away now.
God. Take it away. Take it away. Take it away now. Okay. So you can find me all over the internet at The Mana Pool. So there's themanapool.com where you'll find the podcast. There's twitch.tv/themanapool where I stream the Vidya games. Once the Overwatch event is over, I will be streaming more different things again. I promise.
It's only a week away.
Oh, that's right. It's next Monday, isn't it? Next week's episode of Monday Night Magic may or may not be delayed. Just saying.
It will be.
Because we might just take the night off and play Overwatch. We don't know yet.
It's not like there's going to be a new standard to discuss
or
anything.
We're not telling you, but we know.
Oh, crap. There will be a new standard next week.
We actually have to do something.
Damn it. Well, it might not be till Tuesday. But anyway, there's also YouTube where I record more different games and play them there. And also, you will find the most recent episode of The Mana Pool on YouTube as soon as I remember to do that, probably tomorrow morning. And possibly, if it's okay with these guys, Monday Night Magic. Because I've had enough complaints, requests from people to put the podcast on YouTube that I'm going to do that for The Mana Pool. Do you guys have any, let me just do this live on the air, any objection to me putting Monday Night Magic on YouTube?
Will there be comments?
Yeah, what I'd like to know.
I mean, I don't actually care.
There's comments on the,
the
website. Let me ask this. Do I have to read the comments?
No.
No, oh, YouTube. Sure, that'd be fine. Dangerous.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, ordinarily YouTube comments from my, site are pretty good, or my channel, because I'm not big enough to have, you know, the requisite amount of douchebags, but. Okay then. So, yeah, you can hear this episode of Monday Night Magic. And, episode whatever the last one was of The Mana Pool on the YouTube channel. These first two will be tests. I might do the next one as well as tests. So if you really want me to put them there, you better go listen to them there, because people are, why don't you put the podcast up on YouTube? You know why? Cause it's like 10 extra steps. That's why. It's more work. So if I put this up there and no one listens to it, you don't get any more. I'm just saying.
That's fair.
Cause it's not like I can just take the audio file and throw it up there. No, it has to be put into a video and then rendered and then uploaded and all that crap. And it doesn't sound like much, but I already do it for a living and it's much. So yay, you can find that at youtube.com/themanapool because apparently that works. I don't know why they told me I had to add the slash C in between that, but whatever. Anyway, what else is there? YouTube? What am I doing on YouTube? Rogue Legacy. I had the most insane Rogue Legacy run that went up, today actually it went public. I've been playing Injustice because Injustice 2 comes out very soon. So I've been playing Injustice, played some Shovel Knight because, you know, that's the thing I do. And also I put up the first Overwatch video on the YouTube channel. It was me and Squee and Cap from the Lair of Lore playing some 3v3 and just being goofy. And
that's got our amazing first match, right?
Yes.
Excellent. That was fun.
Yeah, the one I said, okay, I'm recording this, and then it was completely insane. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Could go watch that.
Yeah. So
it's the best thing since The Sign.
But I've got a bunch of this stuff recorded just while I was streaming. I reached over and hit record. And so I edited it down some. So yeah, let me know if that's a thing that you would like to see more of, because I've got plenty recorded. I just need to go through it and make sure it's worth putting up. Yeah. So there you go. That's what's going on over on YouTube. And that means, what's the last episode of The Manipool was? Most of the Amonkhet full set. Well, we were looking at all the rest of the cards we hadn't talked about yet. Something went wrong during recording, and I lost the last hour-ish of the episode. I was supremely not happy about that. Very not happy about that, but there's nothing I could do about it. Unfortunately, it was just gone, which is why I'm recording this episode with a more different recording software. I'm using OBS. Let's hope that doesn't bite me in the ass.
If you can hear this, it didn't.
It's true, yeah. Or if it sounds slightly different than usual, that's because I'm using Bill's backup. So yeah, just all of that. Just all of that. It was not good. Also, the next episode of The Manipool will be the field recordings from the Amonkhet pre-release, where you get to hear all about what's happened each round after each round. Except for Brian, who started on 0-0-2. Yep, he started.
That's messed up, Brian.
He started with two draws. Yeah. He's like, this is a grindy format. I'm like, it's really not. I think you're just slow. He's like, I'm not slow.
I think if you get the first draw, you're more likely to get the second one.
And then in the last round, he came up behind me while I was sitting there playing, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he's like, I'm the fastest freaking player in this room. It wasn't my fault.
Aw.
Like, all right, Brian. Love you, bro. But anyway, so yeah, that's The Manipool over on themanipool.com. And I'm going to shut up now. I'm not yet. There's also the Patreon. If you'd like to help support what I do with all of this YouTubing and Twitching which sounds like some sort of medical condition and podcasting, then, you can check out the Patreon at patreon.com/themanipool, where you can get early stuff, YouTube videos and Manipool episodes. You can get the behind-the-scenes stuff, uncensored and unfiltered, from both Monday Night Magic and The Manipool. And you can get your name on the end slate, end screen, whatever it's called, for all the videos that go up during each month that you support me at that level. And I appreciate all of it. It helps me, you know, pay the bills, keep the lights on, keep food in my gut, so I don't, you know, die. Yay! Not dying. Because that's the one rule. It's no dying. Right, Bill?
I mean, I believe
for,
in it.
For the rest of us. For the rest of us.
I mean, I believe in the rule. I don't adhere to it, but I believe in it.
Fair enough. And so with that, this has been, I already forgot, episode 557 of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. I would like to thank Clues for taking off his party hat for just long enough to talk seriously.
It's been a great day.
And also Squee for not pew-pewing me with his brand new laser eyes.
I haven't seen you yet.
And that's why. So I've been Chewy. Thank you all so very much for listening. And go play some Magic. #thetopisstopped.